Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Well, it's phase zero.
Oh, God.
Zero.
Wow.
The worst.
We are talking about WandaVision episode 7 on today's show. I'm your host, Brandon Davis. I'm excited to be back for the show. I can't believe we're already 7 episodes into WandaVision. This is wild. I am joined today. The red shirt guy is back, but he's wearing a black shirt, Mr. Jim Viscardi.
I got a red mug. Red mug.
Ooh.
There we go.
Saucy. And welcome to Phase Zero for the first time, a comicbook.com staffer here, Nicole Drum.
Thanks for having me, guys. I am so pumped to be on this show.
Thank you so much for coming out. I love getting everybody from the staff worked into the show because we all love this stuff so much. It is fun to get all sorts of different opinions. And it's also crazy because like we have Jamie on, we have Connor on, and with each week, it becomes like it's a totally different conversation because WandaVision changes it so much. So this is super fun. Yeah. So Nicole, we do have a process. We have to ask every new host a first an icebreaker, if you will, to get to know everybody on the show. So I'd like to start with if you had to do a karaoke duet with one Avenger, would it be?
Why couldn't I get that question?
Oh man. Okay. I'm going to base mine off of the MCU just because I have a better idea of voices. Though I don't think my answer would really change. I'm going to go with Captain Marvel. Especially if we're using the MCU version because, you know, I'm a 90s person. So I feel like there's some definite musical cues that we both just get on with. But also she has a fantastic voice. So I can sound terrible, which I would. And it'll just make it all better. But yeah, I think she'd be a lot of fun, actually.
I can only imagine that the comment section is saying, well, Jeremy Renner has a music album out there.
Oh, you know, I feel like if he and I were to do a duet of some sign with karaoke, it would probably be some like slightly sad, maybe like possibly country song. And I feel like if we're going to do a duet in karaoke, it needs to be a fun jam. Because I gotta hide this bad voice. So.
I think Scott Lang might be the most fun to get up there with, but I think Captain Marvel, if you're looking for a good song, if you're looking for a high quality record, I think Captain Marvel's your girl.
I want to put on a good show.
I'm singing Total Eclipse of the Heart with Scott Lang any chance.
Oh my God. I would pay money. Jim, I would pay money for that. Someone make that happen.
I love it. So we have a big show today because not only did Nicole here speak with Monica Rambeau herself, Tiana Paris, earlier this week. So it's not a dive into the content of this week's episode, but we use questions. I think you did a really good job using questions that are still really fun to hear about even after the episode and maybe even more so. So we're going to have that for you. Monica Rambeau is going to be on Phase Zero today. And also we have a special guest joining us live. We have to get to this. I'm very excited about our special guest today because it's a big day for her. She's a director who she knows how to deliver heart and inspiration. And you'll know this if you watch her new movie, which is on Disney Plus today, Flora and Ulysses, which is a superhero movie in itself. It's about a super squirrel. A superhero, nonetheless, it is, and the most heroic thing about that squirrel, if you ask me, is not the fact that it can like fly and do all this crazy stuff. It's how it inspires the characters around him, which I love. And she is a huge Marvel fan herself. Something I have learned runs in her family. Welcome to Phase Zero, Lena Khan.
Hello. Hey, nice to be here. I don't have as cool backgrounds as you guys because I'm in a production office.
I think that is pretty cool in itself. I think that is really cool. Thank you so much for joining us, Lena.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
And I don't know what I want to talk to you about what today is like. I have some questions for you, but first we do have to run through some of the big Marvel news this week. And everybody is welcome to join this conversation. If you have questions for Lena, we are live on Twitch right now. Make sure you're subscribed, say hello, and also drop your questions in. We will pull some of those up. And I want to run through some of the big Marvel news really quickly, just to get through the top of the show here. First of all, the big news of the week seems to be that the Marvel characters that Netflix had been using are back at Marvel. The rule that we understand it as the public, and I think this is true as much as I can believe it, is that after these shows were canceled, 2 years go by, they go back to Marvel if they're not used. 2 years have gone by for the Punisher and Jessica Jones. That is the last of all the Defenders characters. That means Marvel Studios now has all of the Defenders-centric Netflix characters. Everybody wants to see them back again. Who of the three of you would you say is the biggest? Who's the big? Any of you big Marvel Netflix fans?
I mean, I love Jessica Jones.
That's gonna say I am very excited to at the possibility of Kristen Ritter returning as Jessica Jones. Mm-hmm. I thought she was really fantastic in that. I mean, look, they're all great, right? Like Charlie Cox back as Daredevil would be phenomenal, and to get Luke Cage back, I would love to see, that was the thing that everyone wanted, right? Everyone wanted to see them interact with the larger, bigger picture MCU. And so hopefully we will get that.
I hope so. I've seen so many people on Twitter saying, please put Jessica Jones in She-Hulk. That just makes sense. I think that could be cool. That could be really cool. Imagine Kristen Ritter and Tatiana.
Oh, that would be such a good show. Oh, my God.
I'm just excited about them being in the right hands again. Jessica Jones, you're like, gosh, that needs to go back to Marvel so this can go back to its greatness.
Yeah,
it's wild because like those shows, I mean this is true of Marvel Studios as well, there are not everything is a 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of those seasons of the Daredevil, Punisher, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Defenders. Some of those, there are individual seasons of those shows that are some of the best Marvel content. There are some that are not. Some stuff we should leave behind. It's tricky because we've had this conversation on the show before. You can't just like take one thing and not take all of it, right?
Right.
So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
The things that aren't perfect tens make the perfect tens even more perfect on a lot of levels.
I
appreciate them more.
There we go.
That's the kind of energy we're looking for. Okay. The next big thing was Marvel Studios announced another show for Disney Plus. I don't know how they have room for more shows. I love that we're getting so much Marvel content, but they've managed. They're having Marvel Studios Assembled, which will be a behind-the-scenes look, and the first episode of that will be a behind-the-scenes look at WandaVision. This feels a lot like the gallery that we saw for The Mandalorian, which I love The Mandalorian, and I loved watching the Disney Gallery show because it was just, those sets were remarkable. And I'm curious, Lena, as somebody who has worked on these type of sets before, is it nerve-wracking as a filmmaker to have kind of this opening to the world, do you think? Like if we were to take a full-on documentary look at how you made Flora and Ulysses, would that be nerve-wracking to you?
No, I don't think so. This stuff is so exciting. Now we're still like kids when we're out there. It was like you just dream something. They'd be like, oh, we'll tell you the people who will help you make this happen. And the stuff they're doing on The Mandalorian, like that is front and center of all the coolness.
Yeah. And I feel like just watching with WandaVision specifically, watching how they imagined up all of these sets and built all of these sets for each era. That's going to be very interesting to see. Another big story this week was Danny Elfman is doing the musical score for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I think that's just great news. I mean, Danny Elfman like is synonymous with some of the best comic book movie scores and beyond. So
yeah, it's also a nice, it's a reunion, right? Cause they've worked together a bunch in the past. And so this is just a happy coming together.
It almost makes me think we might hear a certain Danny Elfman score.
Ooh, we may.
Somewhere in Marvel again. Like, I don't know.
Maybe.
Did he do any very famous Marvel scores before? That might be. Anyway, we'll see. Honestly, the crazy thing about all of this is that the rumors that of Toby and Andrew and everybody being Spider-Man again, everybody has heard it by this point. This is like the most just widely accepted, completely unconfirmed, and actually vehemently denied by Tom Holland himself rumor. I don't know. So who knows what's good? I appreciate the attempts at secret keeping. So I think it makes the experience better. It's weird that this one has become so widely kind of known, but also dodged and covered. I don't know. We'll see what happens. And also Black Panther turned 3 this week. I can't believe that.
I remember my God.
Time goes so fast and so slow. And so fast.
It's just 3 years ago already. That means Infinity War is about to turn 3.
Oh, that's crazy.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I feel like I'm still living that movie, right? Like, because it's one of those, like all of those movies, right? Like just Black Panther and, the Infinity War and Endgame, like we're still living with the ramifications of those movies that like, if they literally feel like they came out just yesterday.
They still feel brand new.
It's also just kind of like we're living in the blip, like 2020.
Yeah. Like, oh God, yeah.
Everything was canceled. The number one thing I want from our government is to just get together, make the very important decision of agreeing that nobody had a birthday. We didn't lose a year. We didn't get older. Like we're just picking up. Like March 2020, we just pick up where we left off and we get the year
Brandon,
back.
Brandon's trying real hard to stay in his 20s with that one.
Hey, I'll take an extra year shaved off by all means, please.
I want my year back, Viscardi. Those are the biggest headlines. Is there anything else on the MCU news front you want to talk about? Please, by all means, drop it in the comment section. We do read the comments. But right now, I do want to talk to Lena a bit. And if you have a question for Lena, Lena Khan, director of Flora and Ulysses, which is on Disney Plus right now. I've seen it. It's a heartwarming film. Drop them in the comment section.
Disney Plus went down earlier this morning, and absolutely because everyone went to go watch Flora and Ulysses.
This is a rare thing where you have both a new episode of WandaVision, which is highly anticipated, and you have a brand new movie, which is highly anticipated. And Disney Plus doesn't usually drop big things like this on the same day. So it's very cool to see that. I would love to just hear what release day is like, because here you are on our show. It's so cool to have you. And you're also at work, is my understanding. Like, what do you do?
I'm trying to focus. I'm like, there's all these people texting me. I'm shooting an episode of Never Have I Ever in like 2 hours. And so I'm like, I should be prepping, but I also want to see these fun texts people are sending me. And so but I did watch WandaVision and I looked at like, the splash page of my movie at midnight, I was like, forget sleep. Who cares?
Yeah, that's amazing. Is it a little bit of a nerve-wracking thing to have worked on this movie for so long and nobody got to see it, and now it's out there and your friends, I'm sure your friends and family and everybody's texting, you're seeing reactions. What is it like to kind of know that this is out there for everybody to see for the first time?
Yeah, well, at the beginning, it's like, especially because my first movie was an indie film called The Tiger Hunter. And this one is like many, many times bigger. And so I'm running around. First, there's excitement of like there's billboards up. I saw like commercials and people. I don't watch The Bachelor, but I have some friends who did. And they're like, oh, your commercial's on The Bachelor. I'm like, The Bachelor? Then we made it because I was trying to target not just kids. And so I'm glad that happened. I was like, I'm shooting for the adults. And then there's a while, like just this week, where I was like, oh, shoot, reviews are coming in. Then it's really nerve-wracking. But we got all the top critics gave us good reviews. And so that finally, now I'm in a good place finally again, because it was really nerve-wracking until now.
That makes me so genuinely happy for you, because I can only imagine how that feels to put this out there. It's almost like you're making yourself vulnerable with all this work, and it's to see the good reception of it. The positive reception is really nice. The film is so fun. It just makes you feel good. Like I just loved it. So I appreciate that you are getting that moment now. But also it's a perfect fit to talk about on Phase Zero and on comicbook.com, because it's based on a book and it also has so many comic book references and influences in there. I mean, it opens on a shot of Silver Surfer and Wolverine. I don't think that's a spoiler, but it's so cool. That was such a cool thing to see. How did you kind of land on some of the comic book influences that outright just appear and are referenced in the film?
Some of them I was just excited to put in the first time I heard about the book. And I told you already, I grew up with my brother. His name is Bilal. He's a huge comic book person, introduced me to them, and we go deep. And so there was the book, Ulysses has a different sort of powers, and this one we're really inspired. I was so stoked. We used to talk about it way back when. There's this old Justice League comic by Grant Morrison where, you know, like, is it the Martians or the aliens come and are basically like saving everything, saving Earth, you know, and like fixing everything. And then they realize at the end, they're like, we can't have other people save problems for us. Otherwise, humanity is just going to fail. Like superheroes, their purpose is literally catch you when you fall. But otherwise, their job is to inspire humanity. And I was like, that is such a good role for Ulysses, that he will just do that little bit and he will literally catch you if you fall. But after that, he empowers everybody else. And so after that, went philosophical. And then it was just like, let's just dive deep where we can put Easter eggs. Let's put them where, like, I had the most fun on the main main on ends, all the images, although we had like half of them got lost because of clearances. We couldn't have them, but
that's probably such a headache to have to be like, we have this.
I love we used to end with Ulysses having it. He had like an infinity gauntlet, but instead of the stones, he had all the M&Ms. And I just, our artist did such a good rendition of that, but we didn't win that fight. Even though Sean Bailey from Disney called Marvel and got everything else cleared, but there's a few things they're like, no, that's too much.
That would have been legendary to see the squirrel at the end, like in like a heroic, like almost anti-Thanos pose.
Yeah.
That would have been so fun. That's amazing. We have a question from Rachel Leishman in the comments. Lena, you are clearly a big Marvel and seemingly Star Wars fan. So what would be your dream franchise to work with, and what is a character you'd love to explore?
I am a big X-Men person, but I would love to do a Miss Marvel for lots of personal reasons. I think the comic's so fun. It reminds me of like Calvin and Hobbes drawings meet comics. It kind of has the silly side, but also has the powerful side. I think it'll be a good like many years before she gets a movie, but that's a big one. Or something in the X-Men universe. I want them to come back. I love how they deal with sort of like real kind of social issues in this allegorical way. It's super cool and something I feel like only comics do right.
Mm-hmm. But the last thing I want to ask you, there is a very clear shot in Flora and Ulysses of Ulysses pulling off the superhero landing, which actually we're going to talk about that because we saw that in WandaVision today too. I don't know if anybody caught that. So, and that's also like, it became such a, it almost was like a subconscious thing to see that kind of 3-point stance where the hero is doing that. And then Deadpool called it out. In that movie. So was there any specific kind of hero or even Deadpool that made you think we need to this Iron Man 3 poster cover, Ulysses is hitting that superhero pose to get that in the movie?
Oh, I mean, I went very deep on the superhero poses. I have like references for my artists, like pages and pages of comic book poses. I was like, this one we must have, but there's a bunch else, the other ones that they tried to help, you know, help his kind of muscular anatomy so he could pull off some of the other things, whether it's like Spider-Man when he's on a pole. There's a very type of a stature that gives it the comic bookness. And we tried to kind of infuse that as much as we could. But that one I knew, I was like, no, that's our trailer moment. And he just has to be badass. So
I think I even caught a little bit of Superman, like classic Superman in one of those scenes. I appreciate that. So everybody, Flora and Ulysses is available right now on Disney Plus. And I imagine everybody here has already watched WandaVision, because we're about to talk full spoilers. So I do recommend It's Friday. If you have kids, if you're just looking for a good feel-good film on your own, I don't care how old you are. Flora and Ulysses is a blast to watch. And Lena's first Disney Plus movie.
My 5-year-old is literally watching it in the other room right next door. So I'm excited for it.
And my 4-year-old's watching it tonight. So
perfect. There we go. Okay. So we're going to take one quick break. We'll be back in 1 minute. And then we're diving full on into the WandaVision spoilers. And we have an interview with Tiana Paris, Monica Rambeau herself. We'll be coming up here on the show. So we'll see you in 60 seconds. Welcome back to Phase Zero. Thank you for sticking with us through a quick break. We're diving into WandaVision Episode 7 spoilers here on Phase Zero Episode 6. If you're watching us on Twitch right now live, please make sure you're following the comicbook.com channel. You will be notified when our Comic Book Nation show is live. You'll be notified when our A Wild Podcast has appeared, goes live. And I suggest watching those shows if you're interested in pretty much anything that we're all interested in. So thank you for following, subscribing, and also thank you for subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. because of that, I am very, very, very thrilled to say that with this episode, we are already going to hit 100,000 streams on all platforms. And that blows my mind. Thank you so much, everybody, for that. So I can't thank everybody enough. I will perpetually thank you, but I can't waste the next half hour of the show doing that. So we're going to talk all about WandaVision Episode 7. This is your spoiler warning. It's going across the bottom of the screen. You know how the show goes. First of all, we're going to go around the room here and react to the episode. Lena, I'd like to hear from you first. This is the only show where we give our guests homework. You did it. You watched WandaVision. Yeah. We appreciate that. What did you think of Episode 7?
Oh, this is not homework for me. I was so excited. I think I really watched that. Anyways, I think it was kind of crazy because everybody was talking about how, like, oh, you know, who are they going to meet? Who are they going to go and meet? And then the surprise ends up, well, I guess it wasn't a surprise for a lot of, like, people in the know. But especially if you look at her name, because I was like, oh, that's sort of like a, you could tell from the name. But anyways, I thought it was stoked. I love that they, because after the first few episodes, when they started not basing it so much in that sort of like TV show format, as a filmmaker, I was a little bummed because I think that's super clever. So I was excited to get into like the 2000s storytelling. But I'm excited about the supervillains that are going to come probably.
Yeah, it's going to be I feel like this set up a really grand finale. Jim, what did you think of Episode 7?
Dude, this is an episode that I think, like, as a diehard comics fan, gets me really excited, because it's one of those things where there's been plenty in the episodes leading up to this to really kind of dig in and figure out, but like this one I felt more so than the rest really has a lot for people to dig into, which, and we're going to get into this episode, because I have left a bunch of theory trains and I am boarding new ones. I have theories on theories for this week's episode, and look, all of these theories based in the source material, so stay tuned.
You're never getting that James Spader cameo.
Well, I had to bring him onto the show. That's the only way I'm going to get him on WandaVision now, is by having him in my background.
You and Layla in the comments right now, she really wants to see Spader as well. I just feel like, I don't know if we have time for that. There's Nicole, what did you think of Episode 7?
Let's just say I watched it and then could not sleep afterwards. I'm literally like laying in bed with my brain, like trying to take my theories and like reroute them. And it just blew my mind. Like, I kind of saw the villain thing coming ish. I think everyone sort of did, but not like that. For me, it is just one of those things where it's like, and you know, people who've read some of the stuff I've written, I kind of focus in a lot on like the grief aspect of it, because I think it's such a really beautiful exploration of that on the show. And I think this episode just was so well done on every single mark. So like my brain was literally exploding with all those, that deep comic stuff, plus all the grief stuff, plus twists I didn't expect, even though I probably should have expected it. So it's like, it's 3 a.m. My eyes are wide open and I'm just like, what's next? It's just such a great episode. Like, it's just mind blowing on every level. I'm not okay.
Rachel wants justice for Sparky. Listen, start the hashtag. God.
I am so sad for Sparky. I cried.
He said, and I killed Sparky. I was like, this mother.
Oh my God. I actually cried when she said that. I was so mad.
I kind of hope that does mean we get green synthezoid Sparky yet, but I still don't know how much time we possibly have for that. I'm going to be honest. This episode to me felt like such a, I guess, an unexpected change of pace. So I don't feel like I'm as high on it as you all are, but I always feel like I have to like correct, like almost point out that I did like the episode. There has not been an episode of this that I haven't liked, but because I feel like I'm not in the I'm going to gush over it category, that people are going to be like, oh, he hated this episode. it's certainly not. I enjoyed watching this episode. I thought it was like a, just because I felt like episode 6 ended on a very specific cliffhanger with so much momentum. And then we kind of diverted from that for the majority of this episode. And then I thought the ending was fantastic. The Agatha Harkness of it all. We kind of like, you know, those of us who dissect this stuff, I wasn't surprised that she was Agatha Harkness. I was surprised that she is such a clear-cut villain, because Agatha in comics is always
I don't know if she's a clear cut villain.
She's kind of being protective of her too, so it's kind of in between.
Yeah, I think there's, I mean, there's some deep cuts in comics they could be kind of adapting with that just a little bit, and I'm kind of hoping for that piece of it, because then I'm going to want justice for Agatha if they turn her into a clear cut villain. So
yeah, that's I feel, yeah, there must be somebody else kind of behind the scenes pulling the strings on whatever Agatha is up to. I also found it very interesting because I thought that the powers we saw from Agatha, especially like on the tree branches, I think in that post credit scene, they looked very Power Stone kind of emulating, like the purple kind of glow was. But I don't know. I'm just looking at details, looking for the tinfoil hat every Friday is just tighter than.
Okay, you yeah, brought it up, so I have to talk about this tinfoil hat theory. Okay, right. We have been talking time and time again about the Infinity Stones are gone. They have been they have been destroyed. Energy cannot be destroyed. It can just be, you know, or transferred or whatever. And an interesting thing has kind of presented itself in this episode. There are two things. So Wanda's power, when she uses her magic, is red. We saw in last week's episode, Billy's power manifests as blue. And now we see Agnes's power manifesting as purple. And the book, which we'll probably get into a little bit later, which we believe is the Darkhold, is manifesting this orange, which also kind of falls in line with what Doctor Strange is doing, or Doctor Strange can do with his magic. Now, look, I know there are only so many colors they can use to do certain things, but the fact that there is not one unified look for magic in the MCU, and they are all of a sudden connected to the different colors that the Infinity Stones were, is way too coincidental to not be a thing.
So to just, I agree with you, and I appreciate your detective skills. But just to play devil's advocate, I'm trying to think of a color they could use that is not in the Infinity Stones to kind of display a color. Like, what are they going to use?
Pink.
Brown?
They could use pink. Pink. They could use white. They haven't used white. They haven't used black. They haven't used pink. There are plenty of other shades that they can use. But then again, think of it, right? Red is reality. Wanda is rewriting reality. Mm-hmm. Billy is blue, which very clear, like, it looks like
the Space Stone.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so but it was the original color of the Mind Stone, so I don't know. It could apply in both cases.
I want to ask the director here for some insight, which might help us, because I feel like the color, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I want this to be true, but I'm just playing devil's advocate. You pointed out they could use pink, they could use white. Color choice, like, you're not a white kind of light emulating might pick up differently or something. Do you think that some of that might be sort of just how good the colors look, or do you think? I don't know. I had
a movie that is not like, they're literally dealing with multiverse stuff and things like that. I had a movie that had one superhero, and I went deep on the Easter egg. So I, no doubt, everything there has like 20 layers of meaning. I was even like, there's like a decimal code. There's a color code on the license plate at the very beginning. If you look it up, it's green. I was like, does that mean nightmares coming? Like, what's happening? Like,
I didn't even see that. I love it.
Yeah, well, Lena is one of us. Lena is so fully one of us. We love to see that.
The only other thing I'll say, because I know we need to get something else, is the other theory that I have as far as the colors of the magic go. Wanda's red, Billy's blue. Blue and red make purple, and that's what Agnes has, or Agatha has. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if Agatha helped create the twins, right? You know, are her powers a mix of Wanda and Billy's? Because, you know, it seems very clear that, and from what we know in the comics, Billy does not have a one-for-one match of what Wanda's powers are. And so, you know, I wonder if there's a potential mix at play there, if my Infinity Stone theory is wrong. So I have two theories that I can always fall back on and say I told you so.
Okay, so, but do we think the twins are even real at this point? Does anybody think
they're never real? I mean, they're not real in the comics. I mean, they became real, but like,
I think reality is a perception thing. And I mean, they're real for where they are. Yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're real everywhere. I mean, I don't think they're complete just manifestations. I think there's something more to it. I mean, it's Marvel. They're going to make it a little more than that. But again, yeah, in comics, they're not real, at least right away. I think there's definitely an energy of some fashion in play. Because like Jim says, energy can't be destroyed. It can only be transformed or
right.
You know what I mean? Transferred.
Whatever that line is.
Yeah. So I think that they're real, but are they real in the way that we would imagine real living, breathing children?
Mm-hmm.
There's something.
Mm-hmm. I think they will not be real by the time the show is over, and they'll have to be remade into real somewhere down the line.
I think that's very possible, but I do think that whatever they are is itself real. It's just maybe not what our minds are seeing.
Right. Okay.
Wanda creates are a reality, though. Mm-hmm. They're a different sort of reality, and there is an illusion where Agnes creates them, right? There.
Well, that's it, and that's the thing. Agnes created them using parts of Mephisto's like soul energy, essence
or something. Yeah.
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 So they're made from something.
They're made from pieces of a demon soul.
Well, it honestly, reality is perception is reality. Reality is perception. So even if they're not tangible, real, they're real.
We have gotten so philosophically deep on this show, like never before. We just went like Jim Carrey, bunch of tetrahedrons moving through space. It's nothing is real. But I did want to pull up a clip from the first WandaVision junket where I talked to Catherine Hahn, who was just a blast to talk to. But I wanted to tee this up really quickly because after today's episode. So just check this clip out really quickly. Richard, roll the tape. So we know your name is Agnes. My last thing, I'm just going to say this. Agnes, Agatha Harkness, can you say anything as a Marvel fan? Well done. Well done. I'm not going to push any further. I saw the straight face. I appreciate it. Listen, thank you so much for taking the time.
Listen, to play a nosy neighbor in an MCU show has been, even just to play with wigs.
It looks like a good time. Well, stay golden. Thank you so much.
Oh my God, thank you for this warm welcome.
Can't wait to talk to you again, and good luck. Enjoy the ride.
Thank you so much.
I stand by the can't wait to talk to her again because now I have a lot more questions. But I feel like, you know, it's tricky because you go to these junkets and you know you can't really – there's certain – like the things that we want to talk about could be spoilers. They could not be. But, like, I just was having fun with that, Agnes, Agatha Harkness. And I felt like that was kind of like a thing that a lot of people who know the comics expect. So, Lena, what did you think of the, were you shocked to learn she was Agatha Harkness, or were you in the camp of, yeah, we've read about this, we kind of saw a little bit coming in some way?
We've been saying it at my house for weeks. My husband, the first time, like the second time he ever saw her, he's just like, oh, no. And so I don't know why, when it's such a simple thing with her name, like, what is it, portmanteau or whatever, like, I was like, oh, people could have guessed that, but... he saw it coming. I usually, when I watch it, I'm in Happy Happy Land until after, and just watching as a viewer. But
yeah, I think that might be part of why I'm not as high on this episode as everybody else seems to be, just because I felt like that twist was, and also we're on here talking about it every week. We're writing about it all week long on the site, so it's hard to remove yourself from that. And we've covered every theory that I hope I hope we're wrong. it was a very cool reveal. I'm very excited to see like why she's doing what she's doing and how much she's doing. And I think, but before we wrap up, I want to predict some stuff about the last two episodes. And that's kind of where my prediction is.
How Wanda will react.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She does all kinds of things.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. That's very true. Jim, I think Jim was the one who caught this. He sent me a message this morning. He was the first person to text me about this. Nicholas Scratch, Mr. Scratches. Jim, I'm just going to let you take this one.
I can't believe we let this one skip by us. In that episode 2, Agnes brings out Senor Scratchy, which is Mr. Scratch, which is a long-standing nickname for the devil. And so when you're first thinking about it, you go, oh, the Mephisto theories, they're all right. But when you dig a little deeper and you put the two and two together, you've like diehard comic fans know Agatha Harkness had a son, Nicholas Scratch. Nicholas Scratch, who at one point in the comics, led, fought Wanda and Vision in a place called New Salem, which was a place that looked totally normal, but was a place where a bunch of magic wielding members of the Marvel Universe all lived. Unknowingly kind of thing. And so that just like blows open the door. Like, is Westview more like New Salem than anything else? It was instead of a House of M kind of thing, where like the prevailing theory has been, right? Like the question is like Dottie, right? Who Dottie has got to be more important than I think that they have kind of led us to believe right now, in the sense that, you know, I think the biggest theory right now is that, you know, she's either a member of the Squadron Supreme, or she is a master of the mystic arts in some form or fashion, which may lead to Benedict Cumberbatch showing up and like blowing the whole thing up, right? But it's a fascinating kind of play, because the other thing too is, in New Salem there was a group of magic users called the Salem Seven, and look, we have not seen many people in Westview. Like, maybe I didn't get a chance to count them before this, but like, I mean, it's pretty close to just seven people, right? And so like Herb may be involved, you know, so the other folks that we saw in some of the early episodes may be involved. And so like that, it's one of those things where you look at it and go, that is way too coincidental, because it's one of those things where Agatha at the time was nannying Franklin Richards. And so, you know, is she now instead kind of, you know, looking after the kids in a way, or what? But like the other thing that I gotta mention too is, in Agatha's basement, there's a lot of very devilish kind of paraphernalia kind of all over the place, right? Like you've got a goat skull with the horns on it, which is, you know, obviously, you know, very, very, you know, tied to, you know, devils and demons of Mephisto. But as part of the Salem Seven is a character by the name of Samhain, which I forgot to get a picture for Richard to throw up, but is literally a dark wizard with those goat horns coming up. I think that is a bridge too far on where we're going, because that is obscure. But there's definitely something at play. Look, this show from the very beginning has pulled from a bunch of different Wanda and Vision stories throughout the years. And this, it very clearly feels like something that served as an influence. I'm just more annoyed that like, we didn't pick up on the Scratchy. Like I literally like looked up like, what is Scratchy a nickname for? And then that led me to Mr. Scratch. And I was like, oh my God, it was right there since episode two.
Well, let me catch my breath for a second. To be the one that, yeah, Jimmy, okay, wow, you need a cigarette. If that turns out to be true, it'll be very interesting how it managed to slip by all of us. And it sounds like you're making a hell of an argument for us for that to be the case. The one thing that and also maybe it slipped by us because we're all paying attention to one thing. So first, before I bring up, I want to ask Lena something just to set the stage for my own curiosity. Lena, you watch this. It sounds like you watch this as a fan, digest it, and then kind of maybe dive into some of the real theories of it all. So, like, the aerospace engineer is something that we have not stopped talking about on the internet. So as somebody who I'm sure you read some of this stuff and you have these conversations and stuff, but you're not quite as in it as us. I hope for your sake. do you feel in those two episodes prior to this week's, like the aerospace engineer was something, like, did it catch your attention? Like, oh, this is going to be somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's why I was actually with you, that I was more excited about the end of last episode than this one. Cause it was, you know, I was like, oh, they're going there. This one is like, okay, well now give me something that big. And I was wondering like, okay, well, now we basically know that, hey, they're owning those properties that they have now. I was like, well, are we going to see more mutants now? Are we going to see the Fantastic Four? And I was like, is one of the Fantastic Four going to be, you know, part of this group of like smart people they're going toward? Smart, get it? I don't know. I sometimes feel like they're good enough to kind of like exceed our expectations, I'm hoping, so and surprise us. So I'm kind of waiting and see. But I think I want to see some mutants.
I want to see some. I would love to see Beast show up. You know, that would be amazing. But it seemed very clear that this aerospace engineer thing was going to be a payoff. And like, there's all the theories online. People online are saying that the Spanish subtitles had feminine connotations, so it was like implying that it was a woman. And then she said in the next week, in last week's episode, "My guy is almost here." Which, I mean,
could have just been slang.
And maybe an intentional mislead, because everybody might just assume it's a guy, but my guy could just be a phrase, my person. You know what I mean? That doesn't really specify. So to me, Kevin Feige, Jack Schaefer, Matt Shackman, they know what we're going to do with that.
Yeah.
So it seems like the only way, like the minimum would be like a James Rhodes or like a Hank Pym, which are tremendous payoffs, but I feel like that delivers. But then if you want to over-deliver, you bring in Reed Richards or Sue Storm or Beast. So in a fantasy – first of all, Lena, do you think we are digging too deep here? Because we saw the group that she's talking to, but we didn't meet the aerospace engineer, or did we? What do you think?
No, I would think if they're doing what they have been doing, it's an intentional mislead. And that you're going to meet somebody like that. That's what they're doing. I would argue Reed Richards, he is the smartest one in the entire universe. But that would be like, you want to go somewhere, you go there.
I'm on the John Krasinski train for Reed Richards. Are you on that train, or yes, thank you, Lena. We are best friends. We are absolutely best friends.
Okay, not to go too far back to my crazy theory about Nick Scratch. Nick Scratch first appeared in Fantastic Four number 185. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, I mean, Nicholas Scratch has ties to the Negative Zone, and I truly think that if we do meet Reed Richards or Sue Storm or any of the Fantastic Four, I don't even know if they bring in Ben Grimm or Johnny Storm for whatever reason, it would be cool to spend time with them in the pre-fantastic time of their lives. I mean, we've never done that. We've had the Fantastic Four iterations before. With Spider-Man, the third time, we jumped right into him being Spider-Man. With the Fantastic Four, why not spend a little time with them as scientists, as people? Which, I don't want to spend too much time with them. You know, I want to see them superpowered. But it would be an interesting way to kind of change the expectation and subvert the expectation, and I think it would pay off.
I feel like that origin stories are what Marvel does best.
Yeah.
And I miss it when they go too far and they don't let us have that, because they do it so well when they do.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Okay, we are running. We are behind. We got to start moving pretty quickly here. Monica Rambeau got her powers, which I think superhero landing. If you look at it, when she comes through the wall into Westview, she does the superhero landing. Who here is the biggest Monica Rambeau fan?
I mean, I'm a pretty big Monica Rambeau.
Not all at once.
I love her.
I guess that's a weird way to ask, because we don't really know. We're still getting to know each other on Phase Zero, so we don't.
You're talking to people who probably he probably has them all ranked like 150 or something. Like, is it number one?
Which version do we think we're seeing? Because we saw like the kind of the view of Westview through her eyes, and we saw when she landed, she had like the force field on the ground. Which version of Monica's evolution into here do you think we're getting?
I think we're probably going to get a mix of it all. I think.
I think we're going to get a mix.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, and that's probably the best way to approach it, right? I think a lot of fans recently who've been following the comics have gotten to know that character pretty well in the most recent volume of The Ultimates, where it's her and Captain Marvel and Blue Marvel on a team protecting the multiverse from all kinds of crazy things, and so like that's really the one where I would love to see them, you know, them start to pull some stuff from. But I think it's still very early. But I love that we're seeing like the birth of a hero kind of right in front of our eyes. And no one is like, well, why now? Like it's totally natural. It feels great. And I can't wait to see more.
I feel like there's some table setting there for
absolutely
Captain Marvel too, on some level. Yep. And I do think we're going to see a mix. And I do think that there's probably some strong pull that while we're going to see a mix of the different iterations of Monica Rambeau and her powers, I would not be surprised if her ultimate code name isn't Photon, just because of her connections to her mother.
So
I think we're going to get all the versions of Monica rolled into this one really well done
fully fleshed out version of the character, because she's a fantastic character in comics that I don't think gets enough. I don't think she gets enough attention, enough love. She's getting more of it now, but
she sure
I really
is now.
Do think it's. I think it's one of those great characters that's just been waiting for someone to pay attention to. And so I think we're going to get pieces of all of it wrapped up in this really complex and beautifully done character. Because what we've seen so far has just been so beautifully done, just as Monica. So yeah. I'm here for it.
It's cool to see the nod to Spectrum in her outfit, too, in what she's wearing.
So the regular sword gear or whatever, just to have that black and white two-tone kind of thing. It's just, like, perfect.
Yeah. So listen, so this week we had a lined up an interview with Tiana Paris, Monica Rambeau herself. I was going to do this interview. Everybody on the comicbook.com staff probably hates me because I these Marvel interviews come in and I'm like, yo, Marvel interview, I got to do this one. And listen, so to be completely honest, I got snowed in the middle of nowhere. I went away for Valentine's Day. I got stuck there for 3 days in the middle of nowhere. And so I called on Nicole. I said, I asked Jim, I said, who should do this one? We went to Nicole and she got to talk to Tiana Paris for me. She did a tremendous job with this interview. I'm very excited to premiere this interview right here on Phasio. Everybody, Nicole Drum with Tiana Paris.
There are so many theories and so much speculation about literally every detail about this show, especially that aerospace engineer. What was your reaction when you learned who the aerospace engineer is?
I can't wait to see what y'all's reaction is when you learn who the aerospace engineer is.
Were you excited?
Everything about this show excites me. There are so many little surprises, things you don't expect. So in keeping with the theme the show has already set up, I'm always excited.
Have you seen any of the fan theories that have been floating out there?
Yes, it is so much fun to read. And I actually learn things too, like with the Easter eggs, like they'll zoom in on set deck in the far deep background and then tell a story about it. I'm like, God, I didn't even know this was over there. And you have a whole thesis on it. So that's been really fun to read and see people point out the Easter eggs.
Do you feel like there are any theories that are getting somewhat close?
I feel like there are some really hardcore, intuitive fans who are doing very well.
There are some smart cookies out there.
There are some smart cookies, yeah.
Another big thing that folks are speculating about is if Monica becomes Spectrum and when she'll get her powers. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that? Like, what do you make of it all with the theories and the specifically about your character?
Well, I'm just, you know, this is my first time in the MCU. And so it's just been really exciting to see how excited the fans have been for this character, which is a huge shout to our creatives, Matt Shackman, Jack Schaefer, our head writer, and Mary Lovanos, our Marvel producer, who have just made it their mission to make sure this was a fully fledged three-dimensional character. And I it's been a real treat just watching her story blossom throughout the course of the show. And so seeing the fans excited by what we've created has been very thrilling for me, and I cannot wait for you guys to see what else we have in store.
There's definitely a lot more in store. You can tell. One of the things that I have noticed is we've had some not so subtle clues that Monica may not be real thrilled with Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers. Mm-hmm. And I gotta ask, what's the beef? What's going on there? Because the last time we saw them, they were close.
When Monica was an 11-year-old girl with her mom and Auntie Carol, they had a beautiful relationship. And so I think what's been awesome with WandaVision is getting to see Monica grow up, and we haven't seen her for 20 years plus or however many, and getting to see slowly it's been being revealed what her life has been since we last saw her. And so Carol Danvers was a part of her life when we last saw her, and seeing that there is still there is something there, I think, is very exciting, because as we know, or maybe not, but I'll tell you that Monica will be in Captain Marvel 2 with
yes.
Carol Danvers and Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel. So that gives us space to further explore what might be happening there. So I don't want to ruin anything for you.
I appreciate that. I also appreciate your time today. Thank you so much. And have a great rest of yours.
You too. Thank you.
Tiana Paris is awesome. Like, that yes. was a great interview. Thank you for that. But she also, she's very good for somebody so new to the Marvel of it all. She's very good at giving good answers, but also not saying too much at all. You could just see it.
Yeah, she did the whole, I'm not going to reveal a whole lot, very well, but she was so much fun to talk to.
What do you think?
I can't wait until you see who the aerospace. But that seems to confirm there is a person coming in as the aerospace. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so where were I? I'm looking at my notes here really quickly. Oh, I want to talk about Pietro.
Oh, and boy.
So I had a take on Twitter.
Are you ready?
People, I was surprised how many people disagreed with me on this, but what I said was, I essentially said, I don't remember word for word, but the tweet said something like, I need WandaVision to at least acknowledge why Pietro looks like Pietro from the X-Men universe, why he's wearing that face. And if it doesn't, I'll be frustrated. It's just too intentional of a move to incorporate this actor who played the same character. So, I mean, Jim, I know where you stand on this. Lena, I'm interested to hear you. Would you be okay if this was just like a, here's a nod. We know you're expecting multiverse because this leads into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Man. Like, don't you want...
No, that would be terrible. That would be the worst thing ever. What do you mean?
I'm saying.
Bring them all in. I want to see all these people now.
That's what I'm saying. I was surprised.
There's a Nexus commercial. So that has to go somewhere.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Hold on a second. Brandon, do you want to go before I go on the pirate?
We have the opportunity to pull out some geek cards here and
okay,
explain.
Fair enough. Go.
One of us is going to explain the Nexus being of it all. I would like Lena, take us away if you want to.
I mean, I just want to say, like, is this some sort of like hub of the Nexus where Wanda's going to like be the one who traverses all the multiverses? Like, is this where it's going to start and we go deep? I don't know. I see Jim nodding. I'm like, you do your thing.
Jim's ready.
No, look, there's the Nexus thing is definitely a twofold thing, right? Nexus beings in the Marvel Universe are things, right? They are, kind of the superpowered magical beings that have the ability to, travel through the verse. And then there is, the Nexus of everything, which is the, the pathway through some of the other, alternate universes. I know Adam Barnhart's in the chat, and Adam Barnhart's going to get real mad at me if I don't mention, maybe is this opening the door for a man thing? A slow reveal kind of thing? I don't know. But we got to dial it back just a little bit about the Pietro of it all, because we're shown a book in this episode that we are believing or assuming is the Darkhold. Now, this is a Darkhold that is different than what we've seen in Runaways and in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I do need to give a call to the hula dancer that was on the truck, the very nice, another Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Easter egg, I believe. But anyway, dial it back a bit. So the guy who wrote the Darkhold is a villain by the name of Chthon, I think is how you pronounce it. I don't know. I read these stories and I say them in my head. Then when I say them out loud, I'm like, oh God, I'm going to completely embarrass myself. Chthon is, look, he is an elder god who obviously has ties to Mephisto in the, the Dark Realm and all of that. But very recently, or not very recently, in a miniseries called Young Avengers, Wiccan and Speed, he shows up there, but also has showed up in a recent issue of Mighty Avengers. And in that, the story in Mighty Avengers is he basically comes. It's a story that involves Wanda, written by Dan Slott, art by Koi Pham. Comes back to Earth basically as Quicksilver. And so, Richard, pull up what the villain actually looks like. because I know we've got that. So that's what Chithon looks like. And that is scary as hell. Look, horns again, still, right? And then when he showed up in Mighty Avengers, boom, Richard, came back in the body of Quicksilver just to mess with Wanda. There is zero.
Okay. So listen, I think that you have a really valid point, but at that point, it's just, oh, was Aaron Taylor Johnson unavailable? And you just went with like the closest thing.
Well,
like,
no, because you know the multiverse exists. And so, either Agatha or whoever the bigger thing is at play here, you know, like they made it very clear that you could not bring magic cannot bring someone back from the dead. Or Wanda's magic at least couldn't. And so the theory is that, like, you know, they needed a Pietro, so they pulled a Pietro. It just happened to look different. And so that's what you got. Like that explanation is clear as day there.
Isn't there a story where that particular villain also possesses Wanda, or am I wrong? Like, I'm pretty sure, because my brain, there's so many Wanda stories I've been rereading to like, you know, be prepped. But also, if you think of it in terms of that, roll back a couple, you know, an episode to the snacking on your magic. I feel like that could be connected to that if that is the villain in play.
Yep. That's, Pietro is Chthon, however we want to say it, likely. But like, is Ralph Chthon? Are they both the same person? I don't know. Yeah. Is Ralph real?
I don't know if Ralph exists.
I still feel Ralph could exist, and I still think there's a way to work Mephisto in there too. So I feel like
Mephisto could be kind of like a tier above villain. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they could be building him, and we all expected him to be here. But if Marvel Studios has shown one thing through all of these years, it is patience. They don't care to give you everything right up front. Yep. They will take the time to build.
And he is such a major villain that, like, you can't nothing against the show, right? But it's too big to just bring into WandaVision.
Yeah, no, you have to like lay the groundwork for it. And maybe I'm completely insane, but I don't know if anyone saw this, but I saw someone put on Twitter that there's that fly or whatever crazy thing it is that's on those curtains. And someone's like, Mephisto originally kind of first snuck in there as a fly. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so it wouldn't surprise me if that's a deep cut, low key. We're kind of building that bridge through this other stuff.
I still think Ralph could exist.
I had a note in here that I wanted to ask Lena, because when Wanda goes into Agatha's house before we know that she's Agatha, it is like there's that fly moment. There's like the tight shots on the rabbit. It all starts to feel very claustrophobic. So I was curious, like, from the director perspective, like, what do you think Matt Shakman was trying to accomplish there? Do you think there's details? Do you think it's a tone? All the above.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, when we were talking about this stuff, I was like, the reason I don't think any like these giant villain things are coming next episodes or whatever is just, the nature of TV show storytelling, especially that Disney is doing this once a week format. And there's a certain tone, like there's the giant comic book nerds, but then there's 80% of their audience, which is kind of like middle ground. They don't know half the stuff you guys know. So they kind of have to ease that audience into this whole universe thing. Like, some of them don't know what a multiverse is, So like, they have to sort of like dangle those things and keep within that tone. They can't just bring out like the biggest villain of all, like in the next two episodes, I don't think. And so I think they're sort of starting to set the tone to get people into that sort of world from like fun, happy land of episode one.
So do you think, though, we'll get a definitive ending for the show, or will it feel more like a stepping stone, just serve as a stepping stone to something else?
I think, given that, Disney's Plus is just establishing themselves in their own right, like, now. I mean, they're going to want people to be like, no, we are keeping this service, and we need to know for next season what happens.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a major cliffhanger, and it's going to be, you have to go watch Spider-Man 3, go watch Doctor Strange, follow Wanda wherever she goes. Next time you can find her in the MCU, and you just have to watch. Yeah. So it'll be, but I also think it will have some sense of conclusion, some of these mysteries, but I think the bigger things will be unresolved, which that's a slippery slope. We'll see. I can't wait to see the Twitter discourse on that day. So listen, before we wrap up, my last thing for everybody, there has been so much hype, both from fans, but also from the cast and the filmmakers. Everybody has, like, there's been so much talk of an actor that we haven't seen yet. We all kind of assumed it would be the aerospace engineer. I don't know if the aerospace engineer and this person that everybody's been talking about are the same person, if there's two characters coming. It's been compared to a Luke Skywalker level cameo. Paul Bettany said that this is somebody he's always wanted to work with, which seems to imply it's somebody he has not worked with. So I just want everybody to give us one guess. Like, who's your best guess? Who is this actor or the character they're playing or both? Nicole, I'm going to start with you. Who do you...
who putting you on the spot, Nicole? Ready to go.
If you want, I'll go first.
I'm perfectly good with going first because mine is going to be a crack thing. Like, just because I would love to see Magneto roll up. And I don't care which, you know, I personally, Fassbender, I can't necessarily say would be like, doesn't come to mind as like, oh my God, it's the actor I'd want to work with. But then again, who knows? Every actor's got their dream list. But I would love for just like Magneto to roll up, because that would also be another tie to, you know, let's bring all the mutants in. Let's get them all in here. And that's my wish list, but I have no idea. Like, my theory board is a mess when it comes to that one.
Tim, your thoughts? Who do you want it to be?
Oh man, I'm totally happy with it being Benedict Cumberbatch, but just for the sake of wanting to see Paul Bettany and this actor on screen, I'm going to say James Spader.
Oh my God.
Well, they work together. They work together. That's fine. They work together in Age of Ultron. So I guess that
you guys
count.
Don't see when Jim Viscardi is not on the show next week, everybody, you know why.
There are theories that like there some crazy rumor that Al Pacino is cast as Mephisto, and like, one, I love that casting, but two, that's absolutely totally bizarre. But if it happened, I would lose my mind.
Jim, you're gonna be so bummed out when we find out that Hayward is just Ultron's version of Vision body.
Oh God,
you know, you're gonna be so bummed. But Lena, who do you have? Do you have a fantasy person or actor or character in the Marvel canon world that you want to see pop up?
I don't think he ever will. And so I know my limits. I don't actually know who will show up, but I would love to see Beast again. It's been a while since I've seen him in his fighting form.
Beast? Yeah, let's get Hank in there.
He's smart. Cool.
He could certainly be an aerospace engineer who builds stuff for Monica or S.W.O.R.D. or anybody.
But
yeah, I agree. I think that's... that's the thing is I have two answers to that. I think either it's Benedict Cumberbatch, because I don't think Vision and Strange have ever shared a scene together, which would give Paul Bettany the I always want to work with this person thing to make sense. But also, I mean, John Krasinski, Reed Richards.
Brandon. It's not happening.
I know it's not happening. I think, I don't think you can compare Doctor Strange to Luke Skywalker.
I would agree with that. I don't think you can.
I think you could compare Patrick Stewart, Professor X, to Luke Skywalker, maybe, or Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, to Luke Skywalker. But I don't think you could compare Benedict Cumberbatch and Doctor Strange to Luke Skywalker. But I do believe we're going to see Doctor Strange in the show. I just don't know if that's what they're all referencing. We have two episodes left. We will find out in the next 2 weeks. Listen, we got to wrap up today's show. This was an absolute blast, everybody. So now that you're done with Phase Zero and you've watched WandaVision, I cannot recommend highly enough you go watch Lena Khan's new movie, which is available now on Disney Plus, Flora and Ulysses. Lena, honestly, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a blast.
You can follow Lena at Lena_Khan on Twitter. You can follow Nicole at Life in Polaroid, and you can follow Jim Viscardi if you for some reason want to.
I am full of great takes on Twitter. I don't know why you would say that.
His James Spader tweets. At Jim Viscardi. He's going to change his handle to Red Shirt Guy soon, so make sure you follow now. If you're watching us on Twitch, make sure you subscribe to the channel. You're following everything. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, we would appreciate a 5-star review if you had a good time. I'm not asking you to lie, but if you didn't like it, just don't leave a review. And Spotify is also a good place to listen to us. So thank you so much. And I cannot thank Lena Khan and the people at Disney who helped us get an awesome guest for today's show. Thank you so much. Flora and Ulysses available now. I am Brandon Davis. This has been Phase Zero, Episode 6. We'll be back next Friday, everybody. See ya.